In the news this month, planets found orbiting surprisingly young stars, and the origin of the moon's Imbrium sculpture. Understanding how our solar system came to be the way we see it today is not simple. A surprisingly large fraction of the exoplanet systems discovered so far consist of massive planets orbiting very close to their host stars, known as hot Jupiters. Very few systems are known to have large planets as far from their star as Jupiter and Saturn are from our own Sun. Part of the reason for this could be selection bias. Massive planets in orbits close to their parent stars are easiest to detect. Models of star formation suggest that forming giant planets close to the star is unlikely, and that the large number of such planetary systems discovered is evidence that planets migrate over the lifetime of the star, forming in the colder, outer regions of the stellar nebula and moving inwards over time. The question remains whether these large planets migrate inwards in the early stages, while the star and its associated planets are still embedded within the protoplanetary disk, or later, once multiple planets have formed. Now, two new studies, both published in Nature during July, show evidence for early planetary migration. The first study, led by Jean-François Donati in Toulouse, shows a hot Jupiter orbiting a still-forming 2-million-year-old solar mass star. Very few exoplanets have, so far, been detected around this type of star, so discovering one can tell us a lot about the early stages of evolution within a planetary system. Using sensitive instruments on telescopes in both France and Hawaii, and tomographic techniques inspired by medical imaging, the team confirmed that the star, known as V830 Tau, is spinning on its axis every 2.741 days, 10 times faster than our own Sun, and found a longer periodic signal indicating the presence of an orbiting planet. By carefully analysing the data, the team were able to rule out other explanations for the periodic signal and conclude that it is caused by a large gas giant planet orbiting V830 Tau every 4.93 days, at a distance of just over 8.5 million kilometres, with a mass three-quarters that of Jupiter. The near-circular nature of the orbit of this planet strongly favours the disk migration model of massive planets, since migration by planetary interactions produces much more eccentric, non-circular planetary orbits. The second paper shows a fully formed gas giant planet in a close orbit around a star less than 10 million years old. While the previous example was discovered by looking at the spectrum of the host star, this planet, with a size 50% larger than Neptune, was found through the transit technique, where the planetary orbit aligns with our line of sight, blocking out some of the light from the star each time it orbits. The star, known as K233, was detected and found to be a candidate planet host by the Kepler Space Telescope. A team of astronomers led by Trevor David at the California Institute of Technology report the independent detection and confirmation of this fully formed Neptune-class planet, orbiting its host star every 5.4 days, at a distance of only 8 stellar radii. This star and its associated planet are located in a star-forming region known as the Upper Scorpius-OB Association, where only about 20% of low-mass stars host protoplanetary disks, suggesting that planet formation is at an advanced stage. The host star itself has a mass of less than a third of that of the Sun, and an age of between 5 and 10 million years. In this case, the existence of a Neptune-sized planet in close orbit around a star of this age shows that large planets can be found close to their parent stars very soon after the pre-stellar nebula is dispersed. And the authors conclude that, although it is unclear exactly where in the protoplanetary disk the planet formed, the only likely explanations permitted by the observational results are that the planet formed at its current location, or that it formed further out and migrated within the gas disk before it dispersed. The face of the Moon is today covered in the scars of many impacts from a bombardment of small rocky bodies when the solar system was much younger. Smaller impacts formed craters like Copernicus, Aristarchus and Tycho, some with large radial debris fields that stretch over significant regions of the Moon's surface. Larger impacts created the lunar mare, or seas, massive basins often filled in later by lava flows, creating a flat, darker floor. One such larger impact feature is the Mare Imbrium Basin on the northern part of the Moon's surface. However, Imbrium has several features that do not radiate from the centre of the Imbrium impact site, instead suggesting a more complex origin. Made up of rimmed grooves, lineations, and non-circular craters, this set of features is known as the Imbrium sculpture. Now, two researchers have studied this region and determined a likely explanation for this set of features. Peter Schultz of Brown University and David Crawford of Sandia National Laboratories, both in the USA, combined laboratory experiments with numerical simulations in order to understand the creation of the features observed in the Imbrium sculpture, and the nature and trajectory of the impactor. What they found was that the grooves and lineations of the sculpture provide important clues about the excavation process. Firstly, they found that the initial impact and excavation of material occurred uprange of the basin centre, with debris ejected downrange at high speeds and low angles. Their experiments also show that chunks of rock from the impactor sheared off and travelled far downrange at speeds close to that of the original impactor, creating groove-like features far to the south of the rim of the Imbrian Basin. The researchers estimate that the impactor was approximately 250 kilometres in diameter, a protoplanet roughly half the size of the asteroid Vesta, impacting the lunar surface at an angle of 30 degrees and a velocity of 25 kilometres per second. The Imbrian Basin is among the largest of the impact basins created during the late heavy bombardment phase of the solar system's early history, between 4.1 and 3.7 billion years ago. These new calculations have implications for estimates of the mass in the asteroid belt prior to the depletion event caused by the migration of Jupiter and Saturn, and suggest that far more young asteroidal material may have intersected the lunar orbit than was previously thought. And finally, after an exciting couple of years, the Rosetta spacecraft stopped listening for signals from the Philae lander at the end of July. The pair reached the comet 67P Churyumov-Gerasimenko together before the Philae lander separated and attempted a nail-biting landing on the surface of the comet on November 12, 2014. Despite achieving the first-ever comet landing, Philae's final position was not ideal, resulting in less power from its solar panels than needed to power its onboard instruments. Now, since no signals have been received from Philae since the 9th of July 2015, and to conserve power on the orbiting Rosetta spacecraft, ESA have switched off the Electrical Support System Processor Unit, the interface used for communications with Philae on the surface. Rosetta is also now being prepared for the end of its mission, when it will crash into the comet on September 30th, taking increasingly detailed images of the comet's surface as it makes its final approach.